This is going to be a different sort of Sunday morning speech, I believe, at least at this point. This has been quite the roller coaster week for us, and I know for we heard from Jake and Hillary. I think something may be in the air. I'm also very emotional. There's lots of reasoning behind that. Got to watch my daughter graduate from high school, and to think every single one of our kids has graduated from high school. Yay, it's awesome. Everyone's over 18. Oh, never had that happen before. I mean, it's a got to do a wedding, an Irish-themed wedding for some dear friends, and I got to wear a kilt, which is a lifelong dream. I can tell you, if I owned a kilt, I might wear one every day, because they're so comfortable. My wife keeps reminding me that I had to stand over the air conditioning register the entire night, because it's also made of wool, and the kilt weighs about 12 pounds. But also, this last week, got to experience, like all of our nation did, the tragedy in Charleston, South Carolina, and where a group of believers gathered in Bible study were murdered. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. It doesn't scare me, like, oh no, the people coming into church say, well, it was racially motivated. It's devil motivated. God's called us to live for Him and to let our light shine before Him. Father's Day is an incredibly emotional day for me. It's the day my brother died 25 years ago. And so I can only imagine what my parents go through after having my own kid. I don't know how they cope, how they deal with it. And then I remember, this is why we have the faith that we have. So when things go bad, we can lean upon Jesus. That's when we find out where the rubber meets the road. We find out He is our rock. He's our fortress. He's our safe place. Preparing to go on sabbatical for 8 weeks. And I was talking with Tim just a minute ago. And there's an anxiousness in here that I'm aiming for stillness and quietness of soul. There's kind of an anxiousness as I prepare to go, because I've never done something like this before. As Joni mentioned, vacations are a challenge for me, and this is more than a vacation. I don't think I've ever been gone from my house for 4 weeks, let alone. So anyway, I'm excited about the opportunity and looking forward to seeing what God does. I've been reflecting a lot. Part of it was, that's what I talked about last week for our message, but on who we are as a church family and what are we here for. And I wanted to just remind us of something. And what I'm talking about today is a familiar passage, because I've talked on it quite a bit. But I'm reminded of a time when John, the beloved disciple, had basically come towards the end of his life after leaving the island of Patmos, where he had been and had imprisoned and was writing the book of Revelation. He went back to Ephesus, and by this point, John was pretty beat up. He was the only disciple that had not been martyred. It wasn't for lack of trying. Several attempts had been made on his life. And this church welcomes this guy who is one of the oldest living people who had actually seen Jesus. And they bring him up into their church meeting. And they say, John, will you please share with us something from your heart? And he says, love one another. And then he went and sat down. And they said, there's got to be more. And he said, if you do this, it's enough. I'm not equating myself with John, the beloved disciple. I hope to live long and serve Jesus my whole life. But I do have, I believe, a very simple message for us again today about why we're here, and specifically why this church exists. It's got to be 17 or 18 years ago now. Joni and I were driving down from the North Valleys, and off to, this is when we were still youth pastors in Carson City. And on the right-hand side, we're looking over, I see this church building. And I had been a part of this church. I had helped when I was 14, 15 years old, helped to build the church. The areas that we've had to replace over the years, I would probably attribute to myself and the work that I've done. But my dad had been a part of the church and my family for about 15 years before we started the church in Carson. And knew the pastor. He was a dear friend of our family. And this was Life Center. That was what it was called. And as we're driving along, I always would look over and I'd pray for this church. And this particular day, I look over and I start praying quietly in my, you know, in that voice in your head you pray with. And I hear God say, "That's Hillside." And I'm thinking, what the heck is that? That's Life Center. And I didn't say anything to my wife. I didn't say anything to anybody. I had no aspirations of ever leaving Carson City. Well, I didn't want to leave Carson City, but not the church I was at. And it was about 3 years later, Joni and I were asked to come and pastor and co-pastor this church. And for about 15 months, I did not feel released to even begin to bring up the idea that this was going to be even the idea of a name change, let alone, I think, just kind of a redirecting or a repenting. I don't mean repenting in a bad sense, but the realigning with, here's what God's purpose is for us as a church family. And again, one day, I'm driving, and at this point, we were coming from Sparks, so we're coming up this way. As I'm driving up the hill, I hear God say, "This is Hillside." And so I submitted that idea to Joni. I talked to our existing church family who was there. I talked with my supervisor, and it was the thing that kept coming up was this particular verse, that this is who God made us to be. So if you've got your Bible on you, it's Matthew 5, 13 through 16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world." A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. God made us as individuals and as a church to be a city on a hill. The picture that was the very first slide was a picture of Jerusalem at night. And as Jesus was giving this encouragement at the Sermon on the Mount, what he's actually saying is it's like Jerusalem. When you're coming up to Jerusalem, it sits on several hills. And at nighttime, back in the day, there's no electricity. All the lights that people are lighting their homes with, all the lights that are lighting the city, just make the city shine brightly. And Jesus is using this and picking this as a metaphor, saying, I want you to be salt, the preservative, and I want you to be light in the middle of the darkness. So, and looking at salt, what's the purpose of salt? Back then, there were no ice boxes. There's no refrigerators. Salt was used as an essential preservative. Without that, people would die. And as I'm thinking through, looking at the tragedies and the terrible things that happen in our world, think, how could this happen? This happens because thousands and thousands of years of sin, and sin upon sin upon sin, wrongs being done to people, wrongs being done by people, motivated by the dark one, have caused a rapid deterioration of the creation that God intended. And yet God so loved the world that he put you in this world as a preserving influence. If the Christians who are living for Jesus weren't living as salt, as a preservative, imagine what the world would look like. You think it's bad? It would be hell. Think about that. We are here as a preserving influence, as a reminder that there is life available, a reminder that there is hope, as a reminder that there's a God, and here's who he is, and here's what he's like. To be light. Light illuminates darkness. It reveals. Even a little light shines bright in the darkness. It's a testimony that there is a God. Over the last few weeks in our series, we've been reading out of the Message. And I want to do that again, this particular passage, because I love how Eugene Peterson translated this particular section and just shows us a little more vividly in these language. He says this, "Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt, seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You will have lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there, on a hillside, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. We're here to shine. We are here to shine the light that God's put inside of us. And in a lot of ways, you can think, if we're going to be light bearers, we're the ones that are here to shine, it needs to look like a lighthouse or one of those beams that police officers carry. They turn it on and you can't see anything for days and days and days. One of those megawatt ones. It's one of those kinds of lights that come up to you and goes, I've experienced that. I don't think that's the case. I think most of our lives, we live really normally. Some would even say our lives can even be routine and sometimes even boring. But we're not living boring lives. We're not living routines that have no point, no matter how mundane. Every single one of us is going about our life looking to do good in Jesus' name. Basically asking, if Jesus was walking in my shoes, what would he be doing? Wherever you are, whatever you do, you're his representative. And no matter how dark, no matter how messed up the world is, we preserve it with the saltiness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we shine light into darkness. One of the greatest things about light in darkness is it reveals, and we pray that the Holy Spirit works in us and through us to the people in our lives would be touched, and it would come to him. Because no one can come to the Father except that he draws them. And the funny thing is, sometimes he uses people like us, motivated by the Holy Spirit, to draw others to him. Does that make sense? So most of the time I said our light will be small. We don't get to pick the times often when those lights will blaze. This last week in Charleston, there was a tragedy. 21-year-old man walks into a church, sits in the prayer meeting for a few minutes, and then kills 9 people. His dad calls and turns him in. His dad. A couple days later, the gunman is taken, and he is going to be confronted by the victims. Not face-to-face, but via closed-circuit camera. I saw this news story, and the anchor started it, saying, what you're about to see is something that in all my years on this planet, I have never seen or heard before. And they began to play it. And it's the families of the victims sharing from their heart. And what I heard brought me to tears. What I heard was people saying, for this young man, you took the most important thing in my life. You took this and I'm in so much pain. But I forgive you. Jesus can change your life. Turn to him over and over and over. These victims, families, say, I forgive you. What kind of love motivates forgiveness in the face of such hate? Jesus, there is no way on earth a son can say, I forgive you for killing my mom, apart from Jesus Christ doing a transforming work there, because that's not human. It's not rooted in us. It's rooted in him. After they played the news story, it cuts back to the anchors, and they're just visibly emotionally moved. When those people went to Bible study, I guarantee you, they weren't thinking, tonight we're going to be on the news. It's going to be for bad, but we're going to be on the news. They weren't thinking, this is big. We're going to go give our lives for Jesus. No, they were going because they wanted to spend time with each other and with him. And in that one moment, what the enemy has meant for evil, God has worked for good. And there is a testimony that these families are having that in the face of such hatred, in the face of such just despicable sin in the face of murder. They're saying there's more to this life than just working, going through our routines. There is Jesus Christ. And to me, that sums up what we're here for, to let our light shine. If our light blazes someday, so be it. But we let our light shine. We love God with everything we've got. We love people. We look to be Jesus. He picked you for that job. And I'm really proud to be associated with you. I'm very humbled to be supported. When I talked to my supervisor and he said, "You're taking a sabbatical," I say, "I will do what you say." But to hear our elders and our council and people that I've talked to in our church family are so elated for us to be gone, I think, "You really want us to leave for 2 months? Great." But I'm so humbled to be supported by you, because the purpose of this is to be refreshed. The purpose is to be refocused. The purpose is to do nothing. The purpose is to study. The purpose is to build puzzles. The purpose is to enjoy my bride. You get to enjoy me. And I'm looking forward to coming back. I'm going to be fully present while I'm gone, but I'm looking forward to coming back. Because one of the things you're also going to see that takes place over these next 8 weeks is the people who attend Hillside stepping into areas that maybe they have not stepped into before. And you're going to see that the church isn't the we pastor. It's not centered in us. It's a collection of believers living for the purpose of bringing glory to God. That makes me excited. I believe this is going to be a very strong shift in the best sense of the word into the next phase of what God wants to do in and through our church family. And I'm very excited about that. And again, thank you. And so when I heard that our elders and council wanted to receive an offering for us, I couldn't believe it. I'm thankful. We've been saving for this, but to think that there's an offering was just an incredible blessing to us. For thank. And so it's at this time our elders are going to come up and pray for us. I ask for prayer. I would like your prayer. God wants to change, I believe, and reorient how I think. And I believe how there's some wiring. And I want to be open to whatever He wants to do in me and through me. And so, elders, would you come on up? Joanne, would you come up too? Oh, here's one. That's better.
I'm going to ask our council members to come up too if you're on the church council. Please come up. Congregation, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to please stand and stretch out your arms towards Louie and Joni. And Pastor Willie is going to lead us in prayer.
Must be something on the stage. Father, what a wonderful moment. When we can stand here just by extending our hands and laying hands on Louie and Joni and say yes. Yes, yes, to this couple. They have been so faithful in leading us and fathering us and being the spiritual protection over us and all those things that bear a weight that it's not recognizable unless you do it. There's this kind of force that's always there. And they've been up to the task to this point. And I want to bless them and up to this moment. I want to bless them for what's standing here on two legs and in a building that says yes to Jesus and says to Reno, there are believers here, that we are a city on the hill. And it's because of their leadership. Lord, I know you speak to them. I know you speak clearly to them. And there's going to come a season, and this season will be a season of change. Prophetically speaking, I believe the Lord's going to do a shift it'll be for good. Not that everything bad now, but there will be a good shift. That we have seasons that are different than the season before. Seasons of change. And I pray that in this preparation time for the season of change, that Joni and Louie will be able to first concentrate on each other and just refresh themselves in their love and commitment to one another, and that that will carry on to what will happen here at the church. And Father, that you are anticipating this time also. I pray for Louie that the hardest thing to do is rest. To say do nothing, just it's weird. It's fine for like 12 hours, and then it's odd. And so for them both, I pray that they'll be able to rest in the Spirit. They'll feel the sense of the Spirit around them at all times and be able to communicate with you, Lord, in such a way that they never have before, and so doing with each other. And that out of this time will become a newness of a season. That will become a vision for the next step, for the next thing. Lord, you're not stagnant in any way. You're always growing and improving. And you can do that with them personally and with us as a church. We trust them. Lord, we absolutely trust them in what you're going to do through them. And we anticipate their return to see what you've done. Father, that's not putting anything big on them, but we have that anticipation. And Father, each one of us will still be here when they get back, saying, oh, good, Dad's back. Mom and Dad have come back. We're okay. And Lord, I thank you for what you've put in place in their absence, that we will not be abandoned in any way during their absence, that, Lord, you are here, first of all, and you put people and things in place that will ensure that we run smoothly and that we are protected. I just say to the demonic powers of Satan that you have no right to this place, this church, to anyone in it, to Louie or Johnny, that we stand together in the name of Jesus by the blood that was shed, that we have that right, and we take that authority over you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Lord, let them have some fun. Let them have some fun and bring them back refreshed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Go. If you'll prepare, we'll receive an offering, please. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. But while we're gone, next week, Matt Emmons will be teaching. I'm looking forward to listening to it. Willie will be the fifth, and then Chris Hefner will be given the message on the 12th, and then Sean McConnell on the 19th. Jake Wiskirchen will be given the message. Then we'll hear from Sean Lear. And then one of the missionaries we support from Estonia, my son John's future father-in-law, Brett Toft, will be with us on the 16th. And then on 23rd, we'll have a guest speaker named Louie, who will be back in the saddle. So I'm looking forward to that. Joni reminded me, next week is Family Feast. And so if you would check out the sign-up sheets, it's going to be a hot dog feast. And so there's all sorts of sides and other things that you could participate and bring. So anyway, I wanted to, again, thank you. I'm incredibly excited about what's coming and looking forward to see that which God wants to change is never a bad thing. Right on. So God bless you. You will be missed. Yeah. When I'm on the beach with my wife, I might not be thinking about you, though. Anyway, God bless you. Have a great one.